This is Rachel Swanson, and you are listening to the Refine and Restore podcast. Welcome to the podcast where I help refine away the areas in your life that are holding you back and restore your heart and mind back to what is true. From faith, relationships, purposeful living, personal and spiritual growth insights, this podcast is designed to provide inspiration and encouragement to help you grow into the person that you are meant to be. We are wrapping up this interview blitz week with today's guest, Gretchen Soffels, founder of the large ministry organization called Well-Watered Women. She's also the creator of Give Me Jesus Journal. She is passionate about encouraging and equipping women to dig deeper into the Word of God and find their identity and purpose in Christ. Through Well-Watered Women, she longs to meet women right where they are with the hope of the gospel and to ignite a desire in their hearts to know Jesus more. On any given day, you can find her with a cup of coffee in hand, her boys by her side, a message stirring in her soul, and a God-sized dream on her heart. Gretchen lives in Atlanta, Georgia, with her husband, Greg, and her two sons, Nolan and Haddon. Honestly, in this episode, we cover it all, from the struggles we face in perfectionism to how to balance kids, a ministry career, cultivating relationships with others, and what do we do to navigate providing the truth-filled teaching of the Bible, as well as why being compulsive and sharing too quickly about something online may not be the best approach. Gretchen, tell me the story of how you started this organization, Well-Watered Women. How did this ministry come about, and what's the mission of this ministry?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm going to start with the mission and then go to the story. So our mission is to encourage and equip women to be rooted deeply in God's word.
I love that.
This is something that I have longed for so many years, but didn't really know how to do that. I grew up in the church, but by my college years, I still could not tell you exactly how to study the Bible. I couldn't tell you how the Old Testament connected to the New Testament. And around that time, I was working in student ministry and women's ministry at a church. Met my husband, my soon-to-be husband. We got married and we moved to a new city to work at a church plant. And when we moved to that new city, I did not know what I was going to do for my next job. And I come out of ministry. I always knew that I wanted to do some sort of ministry. And my husband and I had no money. And we were like, hey, why don't we just start to dream big right now? Because it's a good time to start when you're just sort of,
I love it.
Yeah, you're starting off. And when we came back from our honeymoon, we actually found out my mom had been in ICU. My family kept it from us during that time just because they wanted us to really enjoy our honeymoon. And so I came back to a really traumatic experience. And that really helped kind of shift our perspective too in our early married days, just to realize that life is so fleeting. It's so short. And during those days, I spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time going back and forth to visit my mom and just kind of help in her rehabilitation with an autoimmune disease. And that's when I felt like the Lord was calling me to do something that paired something really practical to meet women with the mission that he has given us as his people. So I began an online ministry and Etsy shop at the time called Life Lived Beautifully. So that's where it starts in the very beginning, is I wanted to really show women that they can live life beautifully for the glory of God.
When was this again? What year was this? I'm just curious.
2013.
Okay. Okay.
Awesome. So, and I was selling all kinds of things because we had no money. People would find things at garage sales and just, you know, say, hey, do you want to use this? And I remember a family member found a bunch of old keys at a garage sale for like 50 cents and gave them to me. So I thought, well, I'll make key necklaces and that can be something to pray over and women can choose their word. And
yeah.
So that's kind of where it started. But over that first year, God really was shaping and molding the mission. And along with that, he was shaping and molding me too. And so many things that I thought, oh, maybe this is what it's going to look like. He was saying, no, this is what it's going to look like. So a lot of refining, a lot of surrender during that time. And about a year into it, I began making a journal called the Give Me Jesus Journal. And that goes right along with what our mission is right now, to equip women to be rooted deeply in God's word, because I would go to my journals every day and just go, I have no idea what to write. And I don't know where to start in studying the Bible. So that journal was created because I wanted to know Jesus more. And I was hungry and longed to know his word rightly, and begin to listen to, you know, sermons and different teachers that were just sparking this desire within me. And I created that journal. And then ever since then, that was just the direction God made it clear that we were supposed to go. So We have been making the Give Me Jesus Journal for 5 years now. Wow. And sell it to women all over the world. But we do a lot of free online content to encourage them. And if women can't buy the journal, we teach them how to use the process, how to study the Bible, create any kind of free content that will encourage them or also help them be able to share their faith and encourage their friends. So we do that along with creating Bible studies and just different resources to encourage them and really to meet them right where they are. So a lot of our ministry is through the internet. It's through Instagram. That's really where I began sharing a lot because I felt like it was a really dark place and I wanted to bring the light of Christ there. I knew that I struggled with Instagram. So I thought, okay, surely other Christian women are struggling with it too. And it's not something that's disappearing right now. So why don't we just bring the truth there and bring the encouragement and start to show people Christ even through that aspect. So that's really where the beginnings are kind of there. It seems a little bit like there's loose ends, but when I look at it now, I see how God brought even, you know, our marriage, our move, my mom's illness, and just that desire that had always been in me and kind of starting from scratch. He has woven it all together to be what it is today. And who knows 5 years, 10 years from now, exactly what it's going to be. So I feel like our journey is always in process.
I mean, that's life in general. We're always in process. I think there's that myth that we think we have to reach some sort of something, right? Like we're reaching for this standard or we're reaching for this moment that's going to hit. And it's like, it's never really going to happen. I mean, yeah, I get it. There's goals that you can make and you can reach those goals, but I don't know if you're like me, but I'd have a tendency to, even if I reach a goal, it still doesn't feel like it's enough.
That's so true. I was just going to say
and
that.
I feel like a lot of women are in that same boat where you feel like, you know, it's never enough. Like you're never going to reach that moment. And I just feel like if we were all to have this place of like, we don't need to grow more spiritually, then what's the point of Jesus?
Right.
Like, what's the point of having a relationship with God? Like, there would be no need for him. And so we're always in that place of process. I love that.
Yes, and we're always longing for more of him. And that's why you said you can reach that goal, you know, have that big thing. Oh, like, I'm going to use something that's not even a goal. Say you're single and you go, oh, I just want to be married. And you think life is going to be complete. Then you get married and you're like, oh, my goodness, this person is a sinner too. You know, or if it's, you know, I want to get a certain job and you get in the job and the pressure so much and the stress and then you want something else. So there's always something else because there's that, you know, God-shaped hole within us that only he can fulfill. And
absolutely.
So I'm always reminded that if we can find our joy and our satisfaction in him in those moments, that's where the fullness comes, not from the dream being fulfilled, the goal being reached, the specific life, like milestone being met. It's finding joy in Christ in those moments. And honestly, Well-Watered Women is all about just preaching truth to myself and sharing the journey and process. Nothing, and I try to share this with women a lot, is we haven't arrived. Nobody has arrived.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the life of following Christ. It's a day-by-day surrender, day-by-day commitment to follow him. And so I'm all about, let's be honest with each other and let's really point each other to Christ in those everyday moments, and just knowing life is hard. It's hard for everybody. Even if people don't act like it, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I want to be a woman who recognizes that, but recognizes that God is greater in the midst of all of it.
Absolutely. So what does your everyday life look like right now? Because you're a mom, you are a wife, you have a giant ministry you're leading with a team of people. So that feels like, I mean, already just those right there, that's a lot. So what does the everyday look like? How do you balance this? What does it look like for you?
So I'm going to be totally honest here. It is a lot. It's so much. And that's something that I am constantly seeking wisdom and counsel about, because as it has grown, so has, you know, the expectations, the things that need to be done. And so constantly I am reevaluating, asking God, okay, Lord, what are the things I need to focus on right now? What is my calling? And it always goes back to knowing him and making him known. I have to pull back regularly. And that's not just like weekly. This is every single day to reevaluate. So right now, my life has been in transition for about 4 years now since I had my first child, because as you know, every single year they change.
Oh, so I get it.
Schedule changes, needs change. We moved twice last year and I had a baby. And so all of those things, you know, along with a growing ministry, and have caused me, one, to step back a lot, and two, to ask for help too. So I say that because right now, every day looks different. I've got a precious high school girl who comes over and helps me with my boys some, so I can have some focused work time. And she also helps me with just some overall house cleaning or folding some laundry, things that she can help get done, just to lighten the load a little bit. And right now we are, like I said, my little boy, he just turned one. My other one just turned four. So this fall, we're going to have our first schedule that will be like a routine every single day, and I'll have some help. And so I say all that because I feel like somebody's going to be listening to this who maybe sees the list of things and goes,
yeah.
And maybe, cause I look to other people all the time and go, how are they doing all of this? Cause it's so hard right now. And so I feel the need to just say, you know, the balance isn't always there, but it is a day to day asking God, okay, what are the things I need to focus on right now? And for instance, so earlier today, my little boy, I was planning on him taking a nap and me being able to get done my to-do list. And that included work things as well as home things. Well, when it came about, my little boy did not sleep and constantly needed me the entire time. And so I had a choice then, and this is something that God has just been honing into my life and really teaching me to practice, is this choice of what's the better thing right now. I can get really frustrated at him, or just really complain in my own heart and be, you know, just kind of grumble about the situation, or I can reevaluate that to-do list and go, okay, what's the one thing I can do with him right now? And so I set everything aside and we worked on folding the laundry together. And I say folding like I was folding the laundry and he was throwing it. So every day it looks a little bit different, and it always comes back to having to surrender to the Lord. And I make lists generally for the week, and I put timestamps next to them. So let's say I need to work on emails. I'll say, okay, I know these emails that are coming, I'll need 30 minutes to an hour. So whenever I do have time to work, I'm constantly saying, okay, is this a lot, you know, allotted time? Is this focused time, or is this going to be a little distracted, something I need to do that I can do while I'm distracted? That's something that has helped me a whole lot too. But every day, the first thing that I do is get into the Word, and whether I can wake up 30 minutes before the boys or 5 minutes before the boys, I still do something to put Christ first, or as I say in our ministry, to put the Word before the world, because when I don't start my day focused on Him, then everything just is distracting, defeating, discouraging. And it is so important to have that moment. And even if it's just within prayer or doing something with my boy, there's a lot of creative ways that we can put Christ first in the day. And so another rhythm that we do is we don't sleep with our phones in our room. So we sleep with our phones outside in the living room, and it's in a cabinet, and we don't get them until we've spent time in the morning with the Lord, with our boys. And those two things never change every day. And they're huge. They're so important just for our hearts, for true rest, for true perspective. And like I said, come fall, we will have more of a regular rhythm where the boys will go somewhere to, they're going to be having a blast, and I'll be able to get some regular work done right now. But that's just my complete honest answer, is every day is a little bit different right now, especially with the summer, especially as my, you know, my youngest has been growing over this first year. And so I just had to learn, take life in seasons. The season that I've been is not the forever season, so embrace it. And then the next season, I'm looking at some more stability, some more structure in my schedule. But that's kind of how we've made it work right now.
And I echo the difficulties of summer, because it's just like I'm going through the same thing with like my growing business too. And it's just, it's hard to manage everything. But I keep looking, okay, this is just a season. And, you know, it really has taken some sacrifice. Like I'm working a lot of late nights right now because that's the only time I feel like I have to have quiet, uninterrupted time to do some of my work. And then so my husband, thankfully, I mean, he has a flexible schedule too. So he is up in the morning with the kids and where I get to sleep in. So, you know, you just figure it out, like you said. And then once fall comes, they're all going to be in school full time for me. Hallelujah. Yes. To where I'll be able to get more stuff done. So I totally get it. You just have to go and roll with what does the season of life look like for you, and what can I prioritize, which I love what you're saying of like so many things you have to try to prioritize. And sometimes it goes, hey, wire, and you just got to roll with it and say, okay, God, like, I'm just going to trust that, you know, you're going to help me get this done. You're going to help me find the way to get this done. If it's not, it wasn't meant to be. Right.
So there's a lot of things I let go of. I ask for help, whether that's from my team, from my husband, or you know, maybe I do need our sitter to come over just for an extra hour for me to maybe focus on writing something or just, you know, doing something that I really need to get done and that will sort of free up my thinking. And so knowing what are the things that are really important and what can you let go of is key.
Absolutely. So did you always know that you wanted to create this organization centered around spiritual growth for women? I mean, you kind of told us the process and it definitely looks like it morphed into that. But was that always something kind of deep down in your heart that you felt like you were kind of being spurred to?
Yeah. So when I was a little girl, I wanted to be a missionary. And that was more the direction I thought that I would be, some kind of overseas missionary. I loved Elizabeth Elliot growing up. She was a missionary, read her stuff, and just always felt so much more at peace and at home whenever I was on the mission field. So every year I was going on all the mission trips, just doing whatever I could to serve in that capacity. So I really thought that I would be doing something with a missions focus. But when I was in middle school, I did commit my life to full-time Christian service. I knew God was calling me to serve him in some capacity, whether it was related to the church or just in some creative way. And so as I got older, I really was thinking, okay, maybe this is going to look like doing girls ministry. I'm starting some kind of ministry where I can reach girls with the truth and also, you know, practical things as well.
Yeah.
And when I went to college, I majored in fashion merchandising. And I thought that I was going to start some kind of Christian fashion line or, you know, incorporate that into girls ministry too. And was headed to seminary when God called me to work at a church in Tennessee. And at that church is where I started working in girls ministry and then worked in women's ministry. And so really my path has always included some sort of ministry to the local church or even to the global church in a missional aspect. But I never thought it would look like something like an online ministry. And part of that's too, because it just has morphed, you know, the internet too over those past.
I mean,
that was like over 20 years ago that I committed my life to full-time Christian service. So just kind of seeing the path of that, but that still is a lot of my heart is just to reach, you know, unreached people groups with the gospel and to equip women to really apply the gospel in everyday life. And I think that's where our life is really transformed when what we read in the word becomes what we live in real life.
So
I grew up in a ministry family. My dad was a pastor and my papa was a pastor as well. And those two people really also impacted my life. And I'm so grateful for that.
So with that, I'm just going to go into this question of, so you always wanted to serve and you wanted to do some sort of serving for God and ministry in some capacity. Then when you start to put yourself out there for you, you put yourself out there with your writing and your thoughts and beliefs and where you feel like your beliefs stem from. And so out there, especially these days, it feels a little crazy, right? In some of the Christian circles where there's theology all over the place. And so how do you deal with the naysayers about what they believe is theological correct and true and how it might be different from yours or depending on different groups? Because I was just in a group, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to tell you this, but I was just in a group where, so it was basically putting a list together, which is fine, of those they feel like were theologically correct and accurate. And so there were some like adding and requesting certain things, but then they come back and say, oh, absolutely not, this person doesn't know what she's talking about. And these are like major key players. And you could tell that it was on a much more, can I just say, like this group was a much more conservative group. And so the theology that they were saying was clear and accurate was based on really their own theological, maybe their denomination or whatever. Whereas there's these other, you know, groups of, there are still Christians, they still love God, they still love Jesus. And yet they were pushing them aside because, oh, well, they're not part of this conservative, they're more on the liberal or I don't know, whatever. So what do you have to say? Like, how do you deal with this? Because I know that's something I've dealt with too, but how do you deal with the naysayers, especially as your ministry is specifically about sharing God's word in and growing people and equipping people?
Yeah. So I have many layers to that answer. First of all, I read a lot and I study a lot. I read a wide variety and I seek to be a learner all the time. So with that comes, you know, it at nighttime, every night I read. And normally it's, like I said, all kinds of books because I want to know what's being said, what's being listened to, if this is popular, why is it popular, but is it rooted in the word? And so this isn't just reading books that people are writing, but this is also just reading and knowing the word and doing things that I can to really understand the word, to understand just basic theology, and to really know who God is and to teach his word rightly. So that's the first thing, is just knowing what I believe is huge, because when naysayers come, I can go back to the word of God. And if we do have somebody that maybe sees something differently, I can come back to them and say, well, this is where I got it from. And I can come and share that in love, and share that in love for that person. And then also here, because there are also secondary, tertiary issues within the church and within scripture that maybe people can, you know, interpret a different way. But ultimately, we stand on the gospel and who Jesus Christ is. And those things are the main things that we keep, the main things. Second is accountability. So this is not something I do on my own too. We have a lot of spiritual and theological accountability. So that comes from people reading our content and our materials before it goes out. And if something goes out that maybe people are questioning or asking something about, or they're, you know, sending us a message and asking us something, we also have wise older people that we can go to and ask, okay, so this is what's being said. Is there something that maybe we misinterpreted this, or maybe we need to reword it so we can clarify, we can be more clear in the message? Having accountability is huge, because within the church, we need each other. And we need men and women to link arms together to have right theology and to share Christ. So having that accountability is woven into Well-Watered Women. And it's also woven into my personal life as well. So any of those struggles, any of those questions, I go to God's word. And then I also go to wise people who are in God's word and know God's word. And then I filter everything from there. So, you know, if I've gone to God's word to see what he says, if I've prayed about it, and if I've asked these people that I trust them, I know, you know, and this is just a variety of people. All of these people don't even know each other too. You know, some of them are from certain seasons of life, like a pastor's wife, or, you know, just different people, but I know that I can trust God's direction and discretion through them too. So if it is something, you know, sometimes maybe I'll say something or write something that I needed to, I mean something, but maybe a word, you know, could just be misinterpreted. So I will just address it too. I'm not a perfect person. I'll write that person back and say, you know what? That's right. I need to make that even more clear. This is still what I mean, but I'll make that sentence even stronger to make it just as clear to share the message. And so really being able to share that too, and to point people to the fact that, okay, it's his word that is, you know, infallible, I'm fallible. And so really those three things, and just being able to respond in love and in confidence, not sharing things early, like in the incubation stage of thinking, but sharing things once I've really thought it through. Yeah. So I have blog posts that I've been working on for a year now.
Wow.
Because it's a bigger concept, and I'm not just going to put it out there because it is something that, you know, there's certain things that are going on about it. And I just want to be able to approach it rightly, mm-hmm. and handle the word of truth well, and share the gospel in love. And so also not being quick to share,
yeah,
you know, really letting things simmer and talking it through with people, with, mm-hmm. with your local church, women there, and then being able to share from that point of view.
Yeah. Wise words and wise advice. Cause I think that's something that's missed a lot, is just taking a pause, yeah. and feeling that, yes. people have to rush or just put stuff out there right away. And instead of letting it soak, or really taking the time to make sure that what you're saying is clear, is accurate to the best of your ability. Cause again, we're not perfect. Right.
Right.
Which actually that kind of goes into this question of, you know, yeah, we aren't perfect, but, I get it. We want to try to be as accurate as we can be, which can make us kind of struggle with the sense of needing to be perfect and the struggle of perfectionism. And you've talked, yeah. about this in one of your posts before, at least the one that I've seen. And so how have you, or how are you daily choosing to overcome this struggle with perfectionism, and what steps have you taken to overcome that?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that, again, go with the perfectionism. And there's probably not just one post that you've seen. There's probably several.
I'm sure there's more. That was the first, yes. like, recent one.
Yeah. Yep. And so really, perfectionism really goes back to my childhood. And again, not anything to do with my parents, but just how I'm wired to want to please people. And whenever that is not under the control of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, under the truth of God's word, that can be something that is more like a prison to live in, the prison mm-hmm. of perfection. And we all know that is not a good place to be. And so growing up, I felt like I needed to be the good girl. And if I did not do something right, I was a complete failure. Well, mm-hmm. you know, fast forward, that's 25 years ago, and still today, you know, there's still things that will kind of come up But I do feel like God, you know, he has broken me of that in many ways. When I was in college, I had an eating disorder. And that was the first time where I really saw my brokenness as it was, that I could not live the full life apart from Christ. And I remember just really grasping the gospel in a new way, that I need Jesus and that in him I am complete. I hadn't, I knew that before, but I hadn't really lived it until I really hit rock bottom. So, you know, certain things like that. And whenever I got married and I had children, all of those things, they just easily break you of the perfectionism because they're not perfect. I've always wanted life to be perfect. I dream of my days, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be the perfect day. And then it's not. And so I feel like as I've gone through that and God's been able to show me that it's not perfect this side of heaven, you know, this is the whole reason we need the gospel, the whole reason we need Christ and the cross, but we have hope in that. So even being in a public ministry position has broken me a lot of my struggle with perfectionism. It's still there. It still rears up at times. I talk through it a lot with people that are close to me who do keep me accountable, who do know me well, to really break that pressure of feeling like I've got to prove myself. Or like if I'm not perfect, you know, I put that in quotes because people won't be able to see that. If I'm not perfect, that maybe they'll be disappointed in the God I serve because I'm not perfect, when I'm missing the point all along. So being in a position where I have done things imperfectly before, I have had people point things out, you know, even little things like, hey, your grammar's wrong in that or something like that, you know, where in the beginning I would just freak out and go, oh my goodness, I messed up and this is the worst thing ever. Now, you know, I'm 5 years into it and I go, oh, I really did not mean to put that comma there or, you know, miss that and, but it's okay, you know?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
It's been a lot of
it's not life like or death.
And the more I've realized, you know, sharing things imperfectly with women to point them to the perfect one is really what they need. So whenever I do start to have that perfectionism rear up again, I have to go back to what are the false expectations that I'm placing on myself or maybe the other people have placed on me that really aren't expectations I should have. You know, so some people may think I'm perfect or expect me to be perfect. I can't live up to that. And I'm not living my life for them. I'm living my life for Christ. And so knowing that every person is imperfect other than Christ really frees me. And it makes me want to share that more with women so they can be free to love Christ and to be where they are and to really learn from him rather than living in that comparison trap or the perfection prison.
Well, and look at the Bible. I mean, how many people, you know, did God use that were not perfect in the Bible? Hello, everybody.
Yes.
You have multiple people who failed countless times, and yet God still uses them, even in their imperfections.
But we tend to focus on their highlights, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like David slayed Goliath, you know, we don't focus on the low part or like Moses delivered the Israelites. Well, he also killed a man and complained a lot. You know, like
totally
don't focus on the low points. We're like, oh,
right,
we're perfect, and we miss the point.
Yeah. Yeah, they totally do. And I mean, even in my own, like when you're talking about the whole grammar thing, I still remember there was a lady who, again, God bless her heart, well-intentioned, I'm sure, but she was telling me that my post recently had like all these grammar errors, and you know, it was actually on my personal page, and which is so funny. And she's like, but you're like a best-selling author and like you're an award winner. I just want to make sure that you know that it's like, because I don't want God to use this for the enemy to use this for like you're bad. And I just started I had to start laughing because I thought, okay, gosh, like look at how many people in the Bible that, you know, they've messed up. And trust me, I don't think this is like a life or death issue if I don't have proper grammar. And I said very nicely back, I was like, you know, I didn't double check that post. I wasn't trying to edit it. It was just me sharing of something. And I didn't check for grammar. But you know what? I think God's going to use it just fine. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And so really knowing what are the things, you know, that I'm like, oh, I can just let that go, you know? And so, and honestly, just having good friendships that are offline, you know, like having really good friends within my local church, a really good relationship with my family, all of that helps in that struggle for perfectionism too, because they're the ones who see me every day. And whenever I do start struggling, you know, with that or feel like, oh, I need to prove myself or I need to be a certain person, but I'm just really tired today or, you know, or things like that. So I have those people that I can go to and again, get that perspective that's needed, but also remember that Christ didn't call us to that. He called us to, you know, we're called to be, like Christ, but that's impossible in our own strength. We need him living through us.
And exactly.
So whenever I start to live it in my own strength, that's when I put the pressure on myself. But ultimately it's Christ in me. That's where the hope is, you know, Christ in me. And I have to just repeat it or like write it on my hand 5 times that day, something just to keep reminding myself of that. And again, shifting my eyes from the imperfect, you know, my surroundings or myself, to the perfect one. And that's just something we have to daily and sometimes moment by moment do.
And so that's obviously a lie that we're, you know, you are saying you're trying to break away from. But is there also another one maybe recently that God's been sharing with you in your own heart of a lie or something that you're trying to refine away from your life and restore the truth of what he wants you to hold on to?
Well, it really does go right along with that. Again, it's something that I feel like God is continually breaking me from. And it's maybe it's the fear that I'm a failure, or just feeling like because things aren't perfect, I'm a failure. I failed at this, you know. I posted this really encouraging truth this morning, and then I got super frustrated later. You know, we're seeing those things because nobody's with me all the time. I'm with me all the time.
Right.
Other than the Lord is with me all the time. And so really realizing that, yes, I'm not enough, but Christ is. And this is, I want women to know that, but I want to know it first. I don't want to preach the message that I'm not first living. And so really breaking free from that lie of, maybe, you know, that I am a failure, that I'm, you know, because I'm not able to live everything out perfectly, or that I will fail at future projects. So this fall, I've got a lot of even big writing projects that I'm working on, and going into it, there's that kind of brooding sense of you're probably going to do really bad at this or something, which is not from the Lord. It's from myself. It's from the enemy. And so really battling that with the truth. And I journal all the time. That's why I sell journals, because I believe in the power of journaling. I believe God does so much, even for our minds, to be able to take it from, you know, that like bubble in your head and write it down, process it, see it with your eyes. God just does a huge work. And so every night, I mean, every morning I journal in my quiet time journal, every night I journal.
I'm a huge journaler too.
I'm, you know, I really, that's one thing I share about a lot. And I know it's hard for people to get into, but it's a really important discipline, I believe.
It is.
And even journaling my prayers, because it keeps me focused too. And
yeah,
it's something
me too.
I track and look back and go, God was doing something when I just felt like things were falling apart. You know, like he was doing something that I couldn't see at the time. So really, I write down the lies. I always identify them, because if we don't identify them, we're not going to overcome them, right?
Exactly.
We need to identify them, pull them out of the darkness of our thinking, or, you know, the discouragement, the despair in our hearts, and then bring them into the light. Now, sometimes I'm really good at battling it with truth of God's word. Sometimes it's really hard and I need to ask somebody, what's the truth here? You know, sometimes we need to bring somebody from the outside in that loves us and can say, this is the truth. And praise God for, you know, the family of God that he has given us, and he works even through his people encouraging us too. So I'm constantly naming it, just really practicing. That was a lie that I'm believing right now, and I'm not going to believe that in Jesus' name. He's going to give me the power to overcome it. And I have his word, and that word trumps Satan's lies. And so it's something that I believe we're always preaching the truth to ourselves. And I say this a lot too, but truth trumps our feelings. And that's not saying that our feelings are wrong, but there are times that, you know, maybe I'm feeling like a failure. Well, that I need the truth to overcome that. And God's word is the, you know, the truth with a capital T that really does overcome that.
Is it possible God may have been doing something when life felt like it was falling apart? I would encourage you to start journaling, as Gretchen and I discussed how much it has changed our own lives. You can either grab my journal called Revive Your Heart Journal, or you may be able to win one of Gretchen's journals through a giveaway we're having on Instagram. If you're not already, I would encourage you to start preaching the truth to yourself or writing it down, because like Gretchen said, truth trumps our feelings. And when we're reading truth and speaking it over our hearts and minds, it will override the negative emotions we may be feeling in that moment. I hope you enjoyed this interview blitz week. Make sure you come back September 1st when my next season starts, because have I got some rich insights and content in store for you. Love you, friend.